Coming up on Twit News, I'm Jason Howell. Aunt Pruitt is going to be sitting here at the table as well. We're going to watch Google unveil a whole host of products at its Made by Google event for 2019. Pixel 4, Pixelbook Go, and so many other things next on Twit News.
Netcasts you love.
From people you trust.
This is Twit.
This is Twit News, episode 348, recorded Tuesday, October 15th, 2019, made by Google. This episode is brought to you by LastPass, a personal password manager and identity solution for businesses all in one. You only need one master password, and LastPass remembers the rest. Visit LastPass.com/twit to learn more. Hey, everybody. Welcome to Twit News. This is the show that we kind of pop up every once in a while, seemingly at random, when manufacturers and companies like Google are holding special events like they are today, made by Google, their hardware announcement. I'm Jason Howell, and I'm here with Aunt Pruitt. How are you doing, Aunt?
Yes, yes. I am unbelievable as always, bright-eyed and bushy-tailed early morning.
You're going to survive. We have amazing people who brought you coffee.
Yes,
and even some food. So.
Thank you.
So Google is just getting all geared up for their big announcement. They're taking stage. They've got a live stream. We're going to cover that. We're going to tune in right now.
Here we go.
Yeah. Made by Google 2019.
Good morning.
Starting with Rick Ostrello.
Morning.
It's the Hardware Group.
Thanks so much for joining us here in New York City, and for those on the live stream for joining us around the world, thanks so much. We're going to spend the next hour talking about the problems we're working to solve for our users and the ways we're delivering help for the way people need it when they need it. We'll also take you into our labs with writer and cultural commentator Baratunde Thurston to hear from the folks at Google who personally develop, design, and bring these products to life. Now, if you look across all of Google's products, from search to maps, Gmail to photos, our mission is to bring a more helpful Google for you, creating tools that help you increase your knowledge, success, health, and happiness. Now, when we apply that mission to hardware and services, it means creating products like these.
Sure, things like the Stadia stuff, right? Controller, which, there's probably
new Pixel phones,
some sort of announcement around Stadia today.
Laptops,
it's about the time that it's supposed to launch.
And Nest devices for the home.
So maybe
each one
jumble that in.
Is thoughtfully and responsibly designed to help you in your everyday without intruding in your life.
Now,
in the mobile era, smartphones changed the world.
Be a two-year thing.
It's super useful to have a powerful computer everywhere you are. But it's even more useful when computing is anywhere you need it, always available to help. Now, you heard me talk about this idea with Baratunde, that helpful computing can be all around you, ambient computing. Your devices work together with services and AI, so help is anywhere you want it, and it's fluid. The technology just fades into the background when you don't need it. So the devices aren't the center of the system. You are. That's our vision for ambient computing. The Google Assistant plays a critical role here. It pulls everything together and gives you a familiar, natural way to get the help you need.
And I mean, more and more, that assistant is similar to Amazon's approach. That assistant is literally being plugged into everything. So it's like now we've got multiple devices in each room that connect.
Interactions have to feel natural and intuitive.
And that's what ambient computing is all about, right?
Here's an example. If you want to listen to music, the experience should be the same, whether you're in the kitchen, you're driving in your car, or hanging out with friends. No matter what you're doing, you should just be able to say the name of a song, and the music just plays.
You should be able to do that.
Pull out a phone, tap on screens, or push buttons. So think about
my
how this vision plays out in the
well
home,
in that regard lately.
Where ambient technology can make life so much easier. When you wake up in the morning, your home knows what you need to start your day. You can get your commute, find out when your first meeting starts. Maybe play some music on whatever speaker or screen is nearby. And when you leave your house, your lights, thermostat, door locks, security cameras, they all just know what to do. And your devices go silent and turn off notifications at night when you want to relax without technology interrupting or distracting you. So
see,
throughout your home,
like
technology
good
works
setup
as
that
a
you'll
single
need
system.
From a user
Instead
standpoint. How easy will this be for a user
thing.
To set up?
Yeah.
Now we can bring this ambient computing vision to gaming as well. With Stadia, our new generation cloud gaming platform, we're aiming to deliver the best games ever made to almost any screen in your life. So I'm excited to share an update with y'all.
Here we go.
Stadia will be available on November 19th.
And the crowd goes wild for gaming.
All right, right off the top.
Get the housekeeping announcements out of the way before you get to the devices.
On your TV, November 19th. Your laptop, even your Pixel.
Sounds about right.
Which will be the first phone to support Stadia when it launches.
Yeah, okay.
We're also creating a few areas to create more human interactions with technology, like motion sense and the new Google Assistant for Pixel 4. So instead of being glued to your phone, you can use quick gestures and voice commands and then get back to your day. That push for quicker, more natural interactions is leading us in new hardware directions too, extending the phone's capabilities in new ways. Let's take a look.
This is clearly a time machine. And you're pretending
exactly.
You're using it to test earbuds. That's a great cover story.
Baratunde back onto it.
Hello.
Hi.
Isabel, I know you and your team led the design for the earbuds.
We really wanted it to just be a simple, tiny little dot floating in your ear. What is a simpler form than a
circle? No gauges like Microsoft. Yeah, truly wireless.
Because there's like two computers in here.
These are floating computers in your
head. Yeah.
Which, man, I held out for a long time on these Bluetooth headphones and earbuds, but the true wireless ones like these. When they work, man, they're like magic.
Is a really challenging part of this. All of these pieces have to go together with sub-millimeter precision. I don't think I would have imagined we'd be able to build things with this kind of processing power this small. There's a lot of sensors and processors, a little bit like building a ship in the bottle.
I could not imagine that engineering.
But really putting in all of the other things that are uniquically Google about this, the ability to process your voice.
That's interesting because... Actually, from a design perspective, the Microsoft earbuds, wireless earbuds, and these have a very similar approach. It's just Microsoft went big.
Bigger. Same thought process.
And Google went small. Yeah, I like those. I like the look of that.
All right.
It all depends on fit, though.
Oh, totally
ears
does.
Ears are so funky now.
Absolutely.
That was a sneak peek at the all-new Google Pixel Buds. So you can start to get an idea of what ambient computing feels like. With Pixel Buds, help is there when you want it, and the experience just comes to you, even when your phone's not in your hand. For instance, you can get hands-free access to the assistant. So instead of turning to your phone for quick tasks, you can just say, "Hey, Google," and ask the assistant for whatever you need. Resume your podcast, send a quick text, get directions, or even understand another language with Google Translate.
Oh, man.
And are they always listening?
Pixel
That's
Buds
my right. question
even
there.
Have a long range
There's a lot of
Bluetooth
the headphones
connection.
Out there that do this sort of stuff. You have to do
you
like a wake
activated or something, right?
Yeah.
And so you can wear them in the yard nice when your phone might be charging listening. Inside, or leave your phone in a locker if you're working out in a gym.
Yes.
Indoors, Pixel Buds will stay connected up to 3 rooms away. And outside, will work across an entire football field.
No barriers.
Of course.
Right.
Pixel
yeah,
Buds.
And I'm assuming this is Bluetooth.
Unless they're also
five,
great
and
headphones.
Most Bluetooth 5 wireless, true wireless earphones can tout that distance when it's unobstructed.
And they need to last long enough to be useful.
Indoors, that makes all the difference, though. That's where you are, and that's usually when it breaks down.
Yep.
Especially because they also need to be unobtrusive, too. So we did some intricate origami with Pixel Buds to make sure everything fit. custom speakers, sensors, custom battery. That's usually what makes these wireless earbuds stick so far out of your ears. But Pixel Buds gives you plenty of battery life. You'll have 5 hours of continuous listening time on a single charge, and up to 24 hours when you're using the wireless charging case.
That's
fair. Even with all those components and long battery life, you can see Pixel Buds fits almost flush with the ear. They're so small and light, it's easy to forget you're wearing them. At the same time, Pixel Buds deliver excellent sound quality. Now, you typically have to choose between great sound and awareness of the world around you. The Pixel Buds gives you both with a unique hybrid design. The earbuds gently seal the ear for rich bass and clear highs, and the spatial vent underneath reduces that plugged ear feeling and lets through just the right amount of environmental sound.
Interesting.
Mm-hmm. On the software side, Pixel Buds respond to your surroundings with the new adaptive sound. The volume dynamically adjusts as you move from the quiet of your home to a subway or a noisy cafe, and you don't have to constantly raise or lower the volume.
Now,
when you're on a call,
volume, I wonder how that affects battery life.
Focus on your voice.
Yeah.
Well,
and if you could deactivate that, because they have these in cars as well, and sometimes they just annoy me.
Yeah.
It's like, I just want a single steady volume. Don't be too smart for me.
Pixel Buds will be available in the spring of next year, and we'll share more details in the coming months, including a few of the helpful experiences that make good use of the on-device machine learning chips. This ambient computing era
for these wireless headphones.
All kinds of new interfaces, services, and devices. But it's also introducing new challenges. When computing's always available, designing for security and privacy becomes more important than ever. You need to know that your data's safe. Protecting your data and respecting your privacy are at the core of everything we do. We've designed strong protections across our hardware family, like the Titan security chip in our phones and laptops. Titan protects your most personal on-device information.
Just released the USB-C version of their Titan security key for two-factor, which is nice.
Nice.
And we know that privacy is personal.
You don't need a dongle anymore to do it on your Pixel.
Which is why you have the controls so that you can choose the settings you want that are right for you. We make it easy to access simple on-off controls, including turning cameras and mics on your Nest devices off. And you can now delete assistant data just by asking.
I like that a lot.
Everything is designed
if you have if you happen to know that that feature exists.
But some of that stuff you probably want to keep there, though, for assistance.
Yeah, I mean, I think the point being that's entirely up to you. Do you want to keep it there, or do you want to get rid of it? And you can on a whim.
Developing sustainable solutions to mass production and consumption is one of the biggest challenges we face today as an industry. It impacts all of us, and it will for generations to come. And we believe Google has both the ability and the responsibility to create systemic change. As a company, we've been focused on sustainability for a long time. Google's operations have been carbon neutral since 2007.
Okay.
And for the past 2 years, we've matched all of Google's energy consumption with 100% renewable energy. And we're continuing to expand access to clean energy to more people, including our suppliers and the communities where our products are made. So today, we're announcing that Google's committing to invest another $150 million in renewable energy projects in key manufacturing regions. Our investment Our investment, alongside financial and manufacturing partners, aims to catalyze $1.5 billion of capital. Now, this will generate approximately the same amount of renewable energy as the electricity used to manufacture made by Google products. So when you choose to buy hardware products from Google, you're contributing to bringing renewable energy to communities around the world.
Nice.
Sustainable.
I like that a lot.
Secure and private.
How could you not?
And of course, helpful. That's the Google way to make hardware and services.
Does Google have an initiative to use recycled products the way Apple does?
Oh, boy. Not that I'm aware of.
I haven't heard anything.
Implicitly,
no. We're going to talk about some of our recent work in responsible manufacturing and design.
But, I mean, companies the size of Apple and Google, they have the money, they have the resources to do this. I think, you know, it's great to see Google do that.
Thanks,
and
Rick.
Make that announcement because they have
be
the power
in New
to
York
do that. A lot of the smaller players don't.
Nope.
You know,
150 million.
You lead by example in that regard.
Working on. I grew up not too far from here in the Bronx, and my dad was a designer.
This is Ivy
industrial
Ross.
Designer too, and he worked for the legendary industrial designer
sure
Raymond Loewy
Ross
on automobiles and a lot of other consumer goods. When I was little, he even made me my own little roadster. I can remember spending hours in his studio as a kid, tinkering with different tools and materials.
VP of hardware
something
design
I learned
at Google.
Early on, something oh, okay. I learned early on is that at its core, design is about solving problems for people. Whether you're designing a building, an automobile, packaging, or even a phone, the goal is to create unique solutions to the world's challenges. And sustainability is one of the fundamental challenges of our generation. You know, when you look at how most things are made today, it just doesn't make sense. In all too many cases, devices are manufactured with dirty energy from precious minerals and materials that are rapidly depleted. And with technology that becomes obsolete in a short time and then thrown away. Right now, we're truly looking at sustainability from every angle. For years, we've been pushing what's possible in design, manufacturing, and new materials.
I'll admit, we've been able to include took for granted plastics, quality design like up until maybe 5 or 6 years ago controller. And understanding it with and dealing with graphic designers and industrial design because it's more than just things looking good.
Plastic. Yeah.
You know, but it's also functionality.
Functionality, absolutely.
These materials ending up in the ocean or in landfill, we're giving them a new life.
Yeah, the best design is a combination of both.
I mean, even just think about like your television remote. There's so many bad television remotes.
It says so many things, but is that really the best?
Right. Yeah. Produces enough textiles to cover more than two Nest minis. And we didn't compromise
then you go
on
the other direction with the Apple remote for the Apple TV.
We created beautiful recycled fabrics and colors that blend into your home.
Not really.
While hitting the same rigorous technical and acoustical requirements. We continue to focus on products that empower people to reduce their own environmental impact as well. Our Nest team has been at the forefront of these efforts since 2011. And as of this month, Nest thermostats have helped consumers save more than 41 billion kilowatt hours of energy, enough to power all of Denver's electricity needs for 6 years.
That's a big stat. Good stuff. One of those home minis showed up
Rick
in my house
in on our new renewable
after
energy
moving
investment.
In and unpacking
and
boxes. I don't know where it came from, but my son uses it now.
The carbon generated by our shipping
Google's
partners for
really
all
pushed
customers.
Getting these things in every house almost so much that you
so
don't even know where they came from.
Where did this come from, dude? You're like, well, it was in a box. I'm like, what?
Manufacturers on these initiatives, our goal is to clear
very
the way
sneaky,
for the entire
Google.
Industry and our planet to benefit. Another sustainability goal is simply reducing the amount of hardware you need to buy in the first place. What if you didn't need to upgrade a bulky new game console every few years?
512, PG&E is probably not going to
Stadia, we're actually consolidating devices so the only hardware you need is a controller and a screen to play your games anywhere, anytime. To give people a great gaming experience, we designed the first cloud-based controller. You know, great design isn't just about how something looks. It's also about how it feels. And subtle design differences can have a profound effect. And we wanted the controller to be comfortable in the hands of all gamers.
Yes.
We found design inspiration in some unlikely places.
You remember the old NES controller? Have you picked up one of those just to see what it feels like now?
Mm-hmm.
It's horrendous.
Ah, it's horrendously good.
Oh, they don't feel right. But if you look at controllers today, they're designed so much better to feel.
Oh, for sure. Design has come a long way. But play an NES game with a controller that isn't an NES controller, and it doesn't feel authentic to me.
It's blasphemous.
But that's just because that's my...
It can't be blasphemous.
We literally took a knife handle, we bent it. It's like, oh... Like, we're on to something.
Yeah.
Okay. So from there, that one ancestor basically had hundreds and hundreds of kids. I kept building on it patiently until it became that. And it's made for small and large hands. So it's super usable for large segment of gamers that aren't always appreciated.
Jason was very, very insistent that we have a non-visible screw design.
Oh, really? Super so you showed up in design? Nice,
you know, yeah. Kind of everywhere.
A bunch of holes onto the back.
That was one of the biggest challenges for product design. We think it's really worth it. It makes it very comfortable in the hand and seamless and googly.
Oh, wow. That was impressive. Good work.
We worked with thousands everywhere. Of people playing hours and hours of games to test our controller against all of its limits. It needs to feel right for as many people as possible. Putting people at the center of our design is integral to our process and our principles.
I hope I didn't see a micro USB connector on that controller.
I don't believe that it has a micro USB connector. I think it's USB-C.
Okay.
If not, that's a big that's a sin at this point for any of Google's products.
But come on.
A laptop that could deliver performance and versatility in a truly beautiful form. We wanted to physically embody the speed and simplicity that people love about Chrome OS. The result was the original Pixelbook. The response was great.
The OG.
People really love the award-winning design, the keyboard, and the speed.
So far, I have to say, this is an interesting announcement. Because it's not just, next we're announcing the blah, blah, blah. It's like they're crafting a story around all these products that are kind of interweaving between each other.
Giving us a wild, like a wide field of view.
Yeah.
Everything.
Yeah, it's an interesting approach. I mean, we know already so much about these devices. Maybe that's why, but it's an interesting approach.
You've already seen everything, so let us tell you our strategy.
Yeah, let's paint a picture for you.
And also have it last all day. And of course, we wanted it to look and feel beautiful. We landed on Pixelbook Go. The design is so distinctive with an incredibly light magnesium that lets us create a very smooth matte finish in great colors.
First confirmed leak.
Pixelbook Go comes in just black and not pink, one of the iconic colors we introduced on Pixel 3. And we created a new rippled, wavy bottom that's easy to grip.
Mm-hmm.
Pixelbook Go is lighter than Pixelbook, but we still managed to add a battery that is 15% larger, making it easier to keep working all day. We also spent a lot of time making sure the keyboard is comfortable and quiet.
I love the,
we
the
took
Pixelbook
all of
keyboard.
Our
yeah,
from the
like
original
it's such a
Pixelbook
good feel,
really
especially
the
trackpad. The
design. We ended up with keys that feel great to use and are even quieter than the original.
Hmm. Good.
And with Chrome OS, Pixelbook Go is always fast, secure, and all your devices stay in sync with each other. Everything about Pixelbook Go is designed to address real user needs for an affordable price.
Mm.
You can pre-order it now in just black, with not pink coming soon. Next up, my colleague Rishi Chandra will tell you about the work we've been doing to make life at home a little easier. Thank you.
$649.
Let's take a quick break and thank LastPass. LastPass is an award-winning security solution that helps millions of individuals and thousands of businesses navigate their online lives easily and securely. They recently set up an expanded business lineup with some amazing features that improve security across your company, make life easier for your users. LastPass Enterprise, more than 1,200 SAMLA and integrated apps, each with its own getting started guide to get you up and running. LastPass MFA for biometrics like face, fingerprint, contextual factors like your IP address, and LastPass Identity, which is a combination of both. that keeps you all protected all in one. And of course, you know, adding your passwords to your vault makes it even better. They've got a security challenge feature that helps you improve your security over time, make sure that you're secure and on point. And we use it here. We love it. So I'm a huge fan. From authentication to access to passwords, LastPass manages every entry point to your business so you can mitigate risk while improving employee productivity. You can visit lastpass.com/twit. Find out how they can help you. That's lastpass.com/twit. And up next, right now, they are just beginning to introduce the Nest Home products that, again, we already know so much about.
So we're announcing an update to our Works with Google Assistant program. We're working with partners to migrate their existing Works with Nest integrations that people know and love, but doing it built on a foundation of privacy and security. For example, we're requiring partners to pass a security review before they can even request access to your Nest devices. You should have confidence in how Google and its partners are protecting your home data. And then you can focus on instead the great benefits of the helpful home. For example, let's talk about home audio. It used to cost thousands of dollars in a professional installation if you wanted seamless audio throughout your home.
So true, by the way. Mm-hmm. This stuff is, the Google Homes in our house has changed everything as far as that's concerned.
Affordable, and
you
sounds
had the
great.
Big home pod, right? The big
it started
one?
Several years ago. With
now we've just got a bunch of minis and then a couple of normal size homes. Would love to have the Macs, though.
And with Google Home Mini, home audio got even more affordable with a great sounding speaker with multi-room support. And with Nest Hub Max, you now have a home media control center right on your smart display. And it all works seamlessly together with Stream Transfer, where you can naturally move content around your home. So for example, I can start a playlist or watch a show on my Nest Hub Max in the kitchen. And when I'm done cooking, just say, "Hey Google, move this to the living room TV." And it'll pick up right where I left off.
That's slick. I like
really
that.
Easy. Now, for a lot of people, Google Home Mini was a perfect starter kit for your audio system. And today, we're introducing the next generation, Nest Mini. It's even more capable with the same affordable price point and the same iconic design. So let's start with the design. Colors really help Mini blend naturally into your home. And you now have a new color option called Sky. And as Ivy mentioned, all of our fabric is made from 100% recycled plastic bottles. Now, we also heard from you, you want a little more flexibility of where to place Mini. So we added a simple wall mount. It really looks great anywhere in your home.
Oh, that's the wall mount.
Now, the original Mini was designed to pack in great sound in a really small form. And with Nest Mini, you get even better quality sound. 2x stronger bass, and even more clear and natural sound. And for those times when your home gets loud, like it does at mine, we added a third mic to hear you better in noisy environments. Nest Mini also got a really cool new superpower. There's a dedicated machine learning chip with up to 1 teraops of compute. So for the first time, core experiences of the Google Assistant can come from the data center and be moved instead to run locally on your device. Simply put, things are going to get a lot faster as it learns your family's most freaking commands.
Nice.
Good.
Finally,
that's great.
Nest
I love
Mini
that.
Also
I love
powers
the push
an
for
amazing
more on-device processing like
a
this.
Home intercom, mm-hmm. So you can talk room to room.
And they're able to keep the cost of this hardware down.
Who's at the front door.
Yeah, $49.
A home phone. Allow you to call anyone in the world for free using Google Duo. I can even use my phone to call my Nest devices. It works great for those times I'm leaving work and I want to ask the family what they want for dinner. So that's the new Nest Mini. Our next step in bringing seamless audio
so
and communication.
Your PA system,
homes around the world.
Essentially.
Yeah, basically.
That's pretty cool.
Okay, now let's talk about home awareness. One of our core products is Nest Aware, which combined with our Nest cams provides intelligent alerts and camera history. Now, lots of our users have multiple cameras, and we've heard from you that our Nest Aware pricing can get a little expensive and complicated.
Thank you.
So today, we're announcing a new whole home pricing model. For one monthly rate, you get Nest Aware support across all your Nest devices in your home. So whether you have two cameras or you have 10 cameras, you pay the same monthly rate. And you can choose between two different pricing plans depending on your needs. We even added more video history. The new Nest Aware will be rolling out early next year, and it'll be easy to switch over your existing plan. Now, as part of the new Nest Aware subscription, we're also unlocking the power of speakers and displays to be part of your home awareness system. So devices like Nest Mini or Nest Hub can be your ears when you're on the road or on vacation.
Oh, I love that.
We use on-device AI, sound detection AI, to pick up critical sounds like barking dogs or smoking carbon monoxide alarms. And we send an alert to your phone. So now in one go, even those basic smoke alarms become smart smoke alarms. And when you get an alert, you have the option to hear the alert or listen live to confirm the alarm. Now, if it is an emergency, the home app can see. The home app can directly connect you to the 911 call center closest to you, regardless of where in the world you are. So in those critical moments, the last thing you want to do is scramble to find a local emergency dispatcher. Now, these notifications will be part of the new home app, which actually includes a new feature called the Home.
This isn't Skynet.
Yeah, I was just going to say, like, of course there's going to be people writing articles about, like, okay, so now it's just listening to you all the time.
Everything is watching you and listening to you.
Moving processing onto the device helps with this, right? Hopefully this always monitoring sort of thing is staying on the device and only reaches out when you reach out through the Nest or through the Home app.
Right.
But home connectivity.
Guaranteed those articles are coming.
You can have the best home setup in the world. But it's nothing without great Wi-Fi coverage.
Cue
down
cry and cue Congress
That's
yelling about it, too.
Wi-Fi 3 years ago. And since launch, it has been the number one selling mesh Wi-Fi system on the market. And in 2019, it is a top-selling router of any kind. And it's a router that actually gets better over time with automatic updates to add parental controls, improve performance, and enable Google's latest security features. Well, today, we're also updating the hardware with Nest Wi-Fi.
All right.
Now, the Nest Wi-Fi system is actually two devices. The router plugs into your modem and creates a powerful home network. The point expands your coverage. Now, working together, they create a single strong Wi-Fi connection throughout your entire home. And our updated hardware and software delivers up to 2x the speed and up to 25% better coverage.
Need to reach.
So now, the Nest Wi-Fi system only needs one router and one point to cover around 85% of homes in the U.S. Now, we're also solving a common problem you find with routers today. Most of them get hidden in a closet or cabinet because, truthfully, they're pretty ugly.
They don't look good. Right.
Which reduces their signal intensity by 50%. Nest Wi-Fi is designed to be out in the open, where it performs at its best, with the range of colors that'll naturally blend into your home. And of course, it's really simple to use. With the Google Home app, you can set up your Nest Wi-Fi network in minutes. And once you're set up, it's easy to share your Wi-Fi password.
Like Google said about the same thing with Google Wi-Fi.
Set a schedule for the
kids. I think the design on the Google Wi-Fi, the original one, really wasn't that ugly.
Nope.
So this just continues what Google's been doing for years now, which is trying to focus on making their devices be more of a centerpiece.
I got to give them credit, though, because I know a couple people that has those devices, and they're not tech savvy.
Yeah.
And they set them up.
Oh, yeah.
Without a cinch.
Man, it's so much easier than it used to be.
We added a Google Assistant smart speaker to the Nest Wi-Fi point. So it does everything the Nest Mini does. Plays your music with great sound, provides answers to your questions, and lets you control smart devices with just your voice.
Device. Yeah.
So now you can broadcast a message to your kids that it's time for dinner. And if that doesn't work, try saying, "Hey Google, pause Wi-Fi for kids' devices."
Turn off the Wi-Fi, yes.
Pretty sure that'll work.
Pause Wi-Fi for the kids' devices.
So that's the new Nest Wi-Fi. Better coverage, smart home support, and the Google Assistant. It'll be available starting on November 4th. With new affordable home solutions for audio, awareness, and connectivity, everyone now can start building their own helpful home. Thank you.
That's good stuff.
and good pricing, the $269 for the two pack.
Is that, yeah, I missed the price on that. So $259?
$269 for two pack and $349 for the three pack device.
Hey, John, can you come here for a second?
Here's how your home
could be. Yes.
Right. So we use this type of setting to really stress the microphones.
Okay.
Right now I'm talking to it this way, but sometimes our devices are higher and sometimes they're lower.
Because I might be down here.
Yeah, exactly. You know, because it's going to be in so many rooms, it's sort of a privilege to, you know, like, we got to get this right, you know? I come from a family of immigrants and they all have accents. And it's important for me to design products that, you know, my parents can use and that it works for everyone. At Google, like, everyone sort of has their slogan of like what their passion is. And on mine, it's actually be heard. It obviously goes into like the stuff that I work on, but also
I appreciate her, you know, having that approach,
things don't
considering
feel right.
What this tech over the years seemed to be designed by engineers and coders.
Yeah,
they don't necessarily think the way consumers think.
Come together to express sound in a coherent and beautiful way.
Yeah,
they call that harmony.
There you go. Harmony. With Wi-Fi.
Sabrina Ellis is taking the stage now.
Hi, I'm Sabrina from the Pixel team.
Yeah.
Now let's talk about how Google's ambient computing vision comes to life when you're on the go. Pixel 4 introduces entirely new helpful experiences with more natural interactions. It's a completely redesigned with a new look, a new color,
ooh,
and a beautiful new finish. And Pixel 4 includes camera features and sensors that you're not going to find on any other phone. Let's start there. 5 years ago,
sensor.
Our advanced technologies team began Project Soli to investigate radar capabilities. Radar's been around for a long time, and it's still one of the best ways to sense motion. It's precise, low power, and it's fast. There were lots of exciting possibilities. But here's what our first sensor looked like when we started working on Soli.
Man.
Radar sensors have always been way too big to fit in a phone. So we shrunk it down into a tiny chip. But that still wasn't small enough. So we had to shrink it down even more. Pixel 4 is the first smartphone with a radar sensor.
That is awesome.
It powers the new motion sense capabilities for more human interactions with your phone. For instance, Pixel 4 has the fastest secure face unlock on a smartphone because the process starts before you've even picked up your phone. Motion sense prepares the camera when you reach for your Pixel 4, so you don't need to tap the screen.
Because the radar detects your hand coming towards it and activates the
sensor. Power down your phone when you walk away and turn it back on when you approach your phone. It also lets you control your Pixel with simple gestures. Swipe to skip a song, silence a call, wave hello to Pikachu. Working on a wide range of helpful new features, from gaming to personal wellness. Here's a quick look.
And that's what I'm really curious about. Like, I think some of these initial features are interesting, but it's just the beginning. Once developers have access to this,
right?
Like, think of like game interactions and stuff. That's going to be really interesting.
I touched without touching.
Radar has a lot of very interesting properties that would be very useful for human-computer interaction. You can shrink it down.
All of this is now in there.
That's right. Yeah, it can sense through materials. It's extremely sensitive for motion.
And so we build this new interaction paradigm based on the understanding of body language.
Better use of the power versus the old technology when it sensed when you picked it up.
Then of course,
you know, because you pick it up and it would light up your display, but now you're going to get an interaction before you even touch it.
Mm-hmm.
So I guess this is still better power consumption using the radar versus the previous tech.
And I can do this.
Whoa.
You mean, so explain that again?
In the old versions of Android, you could pick up your phone.
Yeah.
And
it would light up.
It would light up just because the accelerometer in there. So I'm assuming with the radar, it's not as much power consumption.
Oh, yeah.
You know.
Yeah, well, I guess that depends on kind of what they have built into the hardware underneath that's tailored to that radar sensor.
Mm-hmm.
That is one big question mark, is how thirsty, how hungry.
Right. You can have all of these features, but are you chewing up your great battery life with all of these features?
Yeah.
I would assume the radar would be a little less battery intensive.
Yeah, I would assume that too.
Can detect the environment around Pixel 4.
I hope so.
Privacy had to be built in from the start. You can turn motion sense on or off at any time, and when it's on, all of the sensor's data is processed right on your Pixel.
Okay.
It's never saved or shared with other Google services.
Nice work, Google.
And motion sense isn't the only way we're making your phone interactions faster and more natural. The Google Assistant is now deeply integrated into Pixel 4's OS and across your apps. You can quickly open apps, search across your phone, share what's on your screen, and a lot more. The Assistant can simplify multitasking, too, with a clean, new interface.
I like the look of that.
Check this out. Just give Pixel 4 a quick squeeze. Show me Maggie Rogers on Twitter. What are her concert dates?
Share contextual.
This with Vivian. Reply, let's go see her. Open Ticketmaster.com. Search for Maggie Rogers events.
It's getting better and better.
A key way we're making the assistant this fast is with an on-device version of our language models that run in our data center.
Yeah.
So they can run locally right on your Pixel 4. This means the new assistant uses a hybrid model. It can respond to many day-to-day requests on device, like starting a timer, while connecting for requests like, is my flight on time? You also have new ways to manage your data. Choose a time limit for how long you want your activity data to be saved in your Google account. Or just tell the assistant to delete everything you said to it today or this week, and it will. You're in control.
Privacy matters.
And you can get more details by asking, hey, Google, how do you keep my data safe? We're taking the same care to protect your on-device data, too. With TitanM and other security features, last year's Pixel 3 scored the highest for built-in security for a smartphone, according to Gartner. We built TitanM into Pixel 4 as well to protect your most sensitive on-device data, like your password,
with USB-C,
your
right?
OS data.
Well, that's different. Like, a TitanM is their security model, and they have a two-factor authentication key, hardware key that now has TitanM built into it.
Now, how many of you have tried a voice recorder app?
Oh, this voice recorder app is so awesome.
I know, I'm thinking I'll be able to get organized.
I can't wait to use it at CES.
Recording notes to myself, interesting lectures, important events. But then I end up with a bunch of untitled audio clips that I really don't know what to do with.
In there.
So we created a new kind of audio recorder that taps into our speech recognition and AI. Let's see it in action.
This thing is amazing. So I was just away in Victoria. We were visiting my wife's 95-year-old grandmother.
Outstanding.
And we used this to talk about her life.
Oh, man.
And it was amazing. Like, it transcribes everything.
Oh, man.
Now,
and that's a great scrapbook memory that you're going to have, too.
Yeah. And it's pretty accurate. This means you can transcribe meetings, lectures, interviews, or anything you want to save.
It worked really
Eric
well.
Eric Backstage
for
is going
before.
To save this recording. And now I can go into the search bar and find whatever I'm looking for.
This will work great in our sound, meetings when Mr. Words, Laporte goes phrases. On his idea
Let's
yep. rants.
Oh, totally. I mean, this is
can't keep
such
up
a great tool.
Yeah.
The places where the word pixel are said are highlighted in yellow in the playback bar, so you can dive into the exact part of the recording you're looking for. It's pretty cool.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
And you'll notice this phone is actually in airplane mode. All this recorder functionality happened on device.
Nice work. Yeah, nice work.
Yeah, it's one of those apps that you're like, well, wait a minute. Now everybody has this. Does everybody have a need for it? But it's just so cool. You start to think about, well, I want to find ways to use this.
Right.
Highest score, an A-plus rating, together with a Best Smartphone Display Award. In five key areas like color accuracy and image contrast, DisplayMate classified Pixel 4 XL's display as visually indistinguishable from perfect. Pixel 4 is also our first smartphone with a 90 hertz refresh rate.
Ooh, that's going to be so smooth.
And we've added some smarts. The refresh rate adjusts on its own depending on what you are doing. So you get a great visual experience while still preserving battery life.
That's good.
Pixel 4 brings together so many helpful new technologies and capabilities. And you'll get the best Android experience with Android 10. And you're the first in line to get the latest OS updates and features. We also want to make sure you get the best experience out of the box. So Pixel 4 comes with 3 months of Google One for new eligible members. You get lots of premium features, including Pro Sessions for one-on-one virtual help. Nice. So if you have a question about your settings or want a few tips for the camera, we're there for you. The new Pixel comes in three colors, just black, clearly white, and a limited edition called Oh So Orange.
I need orange.
It also comes in two sizes.
Is that the color you're going for?
And both available for pre-order starting today.
I'm just not sure.
Today.
I'm not sold on the orange.
It's not really orange.
So Pixel
looks
4.
More like salmon.
And we're excited that starting people will be able to find Pixel in even more places. We're expanding our carrier partnerships. So Pixel 4 is now available through every major U.S. carrier.
Good. Necessary.
Now, we didn't forget about the camera. For the past 3 years, Pixel set the standard for smartphone cameras with incredible capabilities like HDR+, Super Res Zoom, Top Shot, and of course, Night Sight.
Night Sight.
With Pixel 4, we're raising that bar yet again. And it all starts with this little square, basically a miniaturized camera rig right on the back of your phone. You can see the rear wide and telephoto cameras, a hyperspectral sensor, a mic for your videos and Instagram stories, and a flash that we hope you'll use mostly as a flashlight.
Right.
But it's there just in case.
I appreciate them saying that.
But the hardware isn't what makes our camera so much better.
Yeah.
The special sauce that makes our Pixel camera unique is our computational photography. And who better to talk about it than Professor Mark Lavoie from Google Research.
Now, I've said before the computational photography has been outstanding with one lens.
Now, oh, yeah.
Let's see it with multiple lenses now.
No question.
Picture is in order, subject, lighting, lens, and the camera body. It's their way of saying that it doesn't matter which SLR body you use unless you get the first three elements right. Well, here's a slightly different take on this list. Subject, lighting, lens, software. So, by software, I mean computational photography. So what does that mean? It means doing less with hardwired circuitry and more with code. I like to call it a software-defined camera. It typically means capturing and combining multiple pictures to make a single better picture. One version of this is HDR+, the technology we've used for taking photos on every Pixel phone. When you tap the shutter button, we capture a burst of up to 9 pictures. These pictures are deliberately underexposed to avoid blowing out highlights. We align them using software and average them, which reduces noise in the shadows. Mm-hmm. This lets us brighten the shadows, giving you detail in both the highlights and the shadows. In fact, there's a simple formula. Noise goes down as the square root of the number of images you average together. So if you use 9 images, you get 1/3 as much noise. This isn't mad science. It's just simple physics. By the way, on the left is our raw output if you enable that in the app. There's something else about this list. It says the lens is important. Without quibbling about the order on the list, some subjects are farther away than you'd like. So it does help telephoto shots to have a telephoto lens. So Pixel 4 has a roughly 2x telephoto lens plus our super res zoom technology.
This is
in other words,
to see.
A hybrid of optical
How
and digital
have you felt about
zoom,
the super res
which
zoom?
We use on both the main and telephoto lenses.
I like this because so you get a lot more compression behind your subject when you're shooting.
Oh, okay.
And it looks so much better on those telephoto lenses.
This is a 1x photo. It's not. It's a zoom taken from way back.
Look at that.
Here.
That's awesome. And it's nice to have this to be able to compete with the iPhone.
By the way, super
because
res
iPhone
zoom
does a hell of a job with the telephoto.
Meaning that pinch zooming before you take the shot gives you a sharper photo than cropping afterwards. So don't crop like this. Compose the shot you want by pinch zooming. Also, by the way, most popular SLR lenses do magnify scenes, not shrink them. So while wide angle can be fun, we think telephoto is more important.
Yeah, but wide angle could also be fun.
That's one of my complaints.
I really love a good wide angle.
I agree
lens.
With you on that. As a landscape person, wide angle is the way to go.
Everyone here is familiar with HDR Plus's signature look and its ability to capture extreme brights and darks in a way that looks crisp and natural.
This has gotten a lot better in recent years. I didn't like it at first. I used to turn it off by default.
Oh, man, I always left it on, even though it took forever.
Right.
In this example, the viewfinder, the window is blown out on the viewfinder, which might tempt you into fiddling with the exposure. This year, we're using machine learning to approximate HDR Plus in the viewfinder. So you get our signature look while you compose your shot.
Oh, no, that's great. That's great.
We call this feature Live HDR Plus. So the industry's most successful HDR solution is now real-time and WYSIWYG. What you see is what you get.
That's great.
Now, if we have an intrinsically HDR camera,
the viewfinder gives you exactly what you're going to see from an exposure standpoint, and it really makes it easier to just shoot your shots. And now you have this on your phone without having to tap and fiddle. That's great.
But maybe you would like to try it as a silhouette. So you tap on the screen and lower the brightness slider a bit.
Yeah.
That mainly changes the capture exposure. Then you lower the shadows slider a lot. That mainly changes the tone mapping. And voila, you get a different artistic vision. Try doing
dual
that
exposure
with any
controls.
Other cell phone.
This is awesome.
So, separate sliders for brightness and shadows while you compose your shot. It's a different way of thinking about controlling exposure in a camera.
Yeah, I like that.
Second, white balancing in photography is a hard problem. Mathematicians call it an ill-posed problem. Is this snow blue, the way this SLR originally captured it? Or is it white snow illuminated by a blue sky? We know that snow is white. With enough training, so can the camera.
That's right.
We've been using learning-based white balancing in night sight since Pixel 3. In Pixel 4, we're using it in all photo modes. So you get truer colors, especially in tricky lighting. Here's a tough case, an ice cave. It's blue light, but not a blue person.
Right.
And here's what it looks like with Pixel 4's white balancing.
That's so key.
Third, we've continued to improve portrait mode. With our dual pixel or split pixel technology, we've always been good at portraits.
I haven't been a fan of portrait
mode. Macro
myself.
Shots.
I felt Google's
this
done
year,
a
we're computing
good job
depth,
as far as it's
again using machine
but it's
learning,
not perfect.
From both dual pixels and dual cameras, which gives us accurate depth farther from the camera. This extends portrait mode to large objects and stand further back portraits.
Good.
We also have a luscious new SLR-like bokeh. That's the shape of the blur. Look at the lights on either side of her head. We're doing better on hair and dog fur, which are hard.
Yeah, that's a big challenge.
And, of course, we still
do great
self-portraits.
I'm going to believe it when I see it.
Yeah.
Because that's tough on the phone.
Fourth and last, we have continued to improve night sight. in many ways, and extended it to a use case that has always been sort of a holy grail for me. You could have taken this dusk shot using Pixel 3 last year. Using Pixel 4, you can take this nighttime picture from the same viewpoint.
Dang. Beautiful. Goodness.
Really?
I mean, yeah, we've been hearing about the astrophotography feature.
Yeah, but what they're never saying is how people are capturing those. They're not holding a phone in their hand. Yeah. There's no way. Not with that clarity.
Well, it's neither. Think back to the mathematics that I explained at the beginning.
Where are they?
Astrophotography is about taking longer exposures and more of them, up to 16 seconds times 15 exposures. That's 4 minutes. But it's a single shutter press, and it's fully automatic. By the way, you can't do this with a single long exposure. In 4 minutes, the stars do move, and trees wave in the wind. So you need robust alignment and merging of multiple pictures. And for a 4 minute exposure, we do recommend a tripod, or you can prop your phone on a rock.
Thank you.
That's I did.
At least do that. They never say that before.
Yes. We use it for white balancing, as I mentioned. We also use semantic segmentation in all our photo modes and have for years to brighten faces in HDR Plus, a feature we call synthetic fill flash, to separate foregrounds from backgrounds in portrait shots, and to darken and denoise skies in night sight. Is there computational photography? There's lots of that, too. Digital sensors are prone to hot pixels that are stuck at red, green, or blue. Mm-hmm. The longer the exposure, the more hot pixels. Our exposures are pretty long, so we need some clever algorithms to remove those hot pixels.
That's beautiful.
By the way, normally that's our astrophotography field testing team. And yes, they sat still for a long time for this shot.
This is only a Photoshop function. Where does this game stop? Cleaning that up.
What can't we capture using Pixel 4? Well, we can capture the moon, which, by the way, required some fiddling with those dual exposure controls I told you about. And we can capture a moonlit landscape. This is not daytime. It's the middle of the night, and the landscape is illuminated only by the moon. See the stars? But what we can't do, including on Pixel 4 today, is capture both at once in the same picture. The problem here is that the moon is blown out and the Marin headlands at the bottom are just a silhouette. The dynamic range, the difference in brightness between a full moon and a moonlit landscape is 19 f-stops. That's 19 doublings, about 500,000 times brighter, way beyond the range of any consumer camera, even an SLR. So, is this scene forever impossible with a cell phone? Remember what I said at the beginning about software-defined camera? Pixel is committed to making its cameras better with software updates. So stay tuned on this one.
That is awesome.
To sum up, four new computational photography features. Live HDR Plus with dual exposure controls, learning-based white balancing, wider range portrait mode with an SLR bokeh, and night sight with astrophotography. Oh, and remember, you can use night sight for many things besides stars. Many things.
Yes.
So go out there and be creative with Pixel 4.
That was cool.
Now see, stuff like this, I'm rooting for Google. Heck, I'm even rooting for Samsung with all of these extra tools for creatives out there. I'd like to see more regular people playing around with this stuff. You know
Absolutely.
What I mean? Quote unquote regular.
Yeah, absolutely.
Some of the most memorable photographs of the last 50 years. 12 months ago, we gave her a Pixel, and she's taken it all over the country to build a new collection of portraits. She also gives us suggestions and candid feedback, which we've taken to heart in the tuning of the Pixel 4 camera. So please welcome my friend, Annie Leibovitz, with our own Lily Lynn.
Miss Leibovitz is a National Geographic photographer, just outstanding storyteller with images.
That was a really good presentation of exactly what's going on behind the lens of the camera. It was really well demonstrated.
This is an extraordinary opportunity that Google gave me, and I've always been interested in the camera phone and, you know, what it could do and what it, you know, what its potential was. And Google came to me and said, we'd like to support you in some sort of artistic endeavor. And we thought of this project. And I mean, it's obvious the what's interesting about a camera phone. I mean, it's is you can carry it in your pocket, for example. But go ahead. I'm sorry.
No, it's great. I know that you've been using the camera for over a year now to shoot a collection of photographs, some of which we're seeing the behind the scenes here. Mm-hmm. Can you tell us more about the project?
Well, we started really with the Pixel 3, and you know, I was very suspicious and careful with it, and it really became an exercise in light and composition and content. And And then when the Pixel 4 came along, I was kind of very impressed about how I relaxed with it and just glided with it and used it and really just enjoyed taking pictures. I'm really towards the end of, I mean, we're going to be doing more work, but towards the end of the work that we were doing, I felt like I was just beginning to sort of get it. And I just let the camera do the work, quite honestly, and really enjoyed myself.
She does say the camera does the work, but you do have to notice there was a couple of scenes of her using a rig to hold the phone to keep it steady, such as right there.
Right.
And there was a couple of scenes where she had an additional light source, too, you know.
Made the project. I mean, we really turned to people who care and people who matter and people who are doing things that give us hope and across the board. And, you know, every single person.
Everybody's taking pictures of her. I feel like I need to as well.
Take a picture of her. Miss Leibovitz.
She's
legendary, man.
No, that's just me. Okay.
parts of us who are.
Got it.
Getting on with it, you know.
Change makers, I think, is what I've heard you call them, true change makers around the country. So you've been traveling, speaking of country, traveling across the country, shooting these amazing subjects.
When Google first came to me, they sort of totally seduced me by saying, would you like to drive across the country? And then, you know, and that turned into, of course, you know, going back to people.
Quite frankly, I'm not doing that again.
What I did was I decided to take two photographs to create a portrait. And because it's hard to say what you want to say about a person, especially these extraordinary people, in one picture. And so I made it a diptych and took two photographs. For example, with Sarah Zorn from The Citadel, there's a photograph of her you know, almost on graduation day in her uniform, but next to her is a photograph of the boots she wore.
Keith 512, that is Annie Leibovitz, National Geographic photographer.
I have to ask, I'm so curious, because you have access to the world's best camera equipment. So how is it different with this project, just having what you have in your pocket now? What was that experience like?
Well, you know, I've been using, like everyone else, you know, camera phones for a while, and the whole idea was, can you use it to go out and do work as a photographer? And I was dying for this opportunity, to be given this opportunity by Google to sort of develop, you know, the camera phone for a photographer and how to use it. And you know, as I said before, it was a little bit of a rough start, and then I just relaxed and I really totally enjoyed myself. One of the last shoots with Meg, the soccer player, it really felt like we were just floating. I mean, she was really a beautiful, she was just a beautiful muse, and I took these photographs that I wasn't really thinking about the camera or thinking, you know, just really composing, and the light was beautiful, and she had that red shock of hair, and you know,
great.
It was great.
That's great. Well, so before we go, since I have you, I have to ask, What pro tips do you have for all of us here who want to take beautiful images like this with the phone in your pocket?
Oh, it's all
just go shoot. Just go shoot. That's
it. It's all there. I think what's great about you know the camera phone. I mean, my children use this camera, and I mean we all are using this camera, and it's a brand new language, and you know if you want to do something more specific, then you may fall into another category and you're a photographer, but it's just really great that this is available for everyone to use.
The democratization of photography is what I've heard you call it. So.
I think it's great.
Thank you so much. And Thank you. I wish we had more time, but I know you as well as Noor, Chase, Idris are going to be sticking around. So thank you for that. Thanks for joining us on stage. And guys, Annie Leibovitz.
Okay. Thank you.
That's great. That is great. You know, we've seen a lot of those ads from in the past that say, hey, this ad was shot with a phone, but they never show how that was created. So people have this assumption that they can just go and do it.
Okay, poof. I could be, yeah.
There's more to it than that.
For ambient computing is to create a single consistent experience across your home, your work, and on the go. It's available anywhere you want it, whenever you need it. With the introduction of our new Pixel phone, Pixel Buds, Pixel Book Go, Nest Mini, Nest Wi-Fi, we're taking a big step towards this vision with much more to come. Now, we couldn't get to all the product experiences today, so if you're here with us in New York, there'll be a lot more product details to see upstairs in person. And for those on the live stream, please go to the Google Store online, see a lot more. Thanks so much for joining us today, and we'll see you again soon. Thank you.
Store.google.com. I'm going there right now.
But I'm going to wait just in case somebody runs back on the stage again.
Oh, we forgot. Oh, man, how did we do it? One more thing. Jeez, what is going on here?
Lesson learned, my friend. Lesson learned.
Would be the first time, would it? All right, so they're doing kind of a recap video right now of basically the things that have been announced. But to summarize for anyone who tuned in late or just wants a little bit of a recap, it really, they really started off with a focus on sustainability, which I thought, they started off with Stadia. To be honest, they started off with Stadia.
No, wait a minute. They started off with, we are going to protect your data.
Oh, okay.
I think that's like the new hello to all of these keynotes nowadays.
That's true. That's a really good point.
So they're all saying, hey, we understand how important your data is. So let's try to make sure we're letting you know we're taking care of it. Okay, so now let's get to the product.
Especially Google, in this day and age, in this moment in time. So, focus on protecting your data. Focused on sustainability, the Nest products that they announced using recycled plastic bottles and fabrics. That's cool. Plus a whole host of other kind of announcements with very large numbers as far as how they're producing.
What did it say? 150 million donation?
Yeah.
Wow. Yeah. That's a lot of money.
And then finally, a focus on ambient computing and just this idea of filling your life and your home in immeasurable ways with all of these access points to Google's services to help you, to make your life better is basically what they want.
And I get that, especially when we think back to our younger days with sci-fi and how we would hope to have all of these things talking around us in the house, So now we're getting closer and closer to that.
For sure.
With Google Assistant.
So Stadia launching November 19th. Pixels are going to be the first phones to support Stadia when it launches. So that's a little more than a month away. They announced the Pixel Buds 2. And this time, totally wireless. Which
great.
I'm happy about. It's the previous versions, I think,
had the wraparound on it,
the little wraparound cord cable thing. Now they're truly wireless. They fit flush with the ear. I think they look really nice. It's like a smaller version of the Microsoft earbuds.
Smaller, a lot smaller.
Yeah, it's like the opposite direction.
They say it's a hybrid design so that you can seal the sound. Because if you've ever noticed with headphones, like, you get the best sound when you push them
right
in your ear canal, but of course that's uncomfortable. But then you finally hear that bass response.
Right.
Remains to be seen if they've nailed it, but they say it's a hybrid design for sealing the sound so that you get that, but also a little spatial vent that lets through environmental sound so you're not totally blocked off.
Right. You don't want to totally knock out all of the noise around you, just for your own safety.
Yeah. When you're crossing the street, you kind of want to know if someone's honking at you. Available 2020, I think I heard springish time for $179.
Also, that's a great price considering, you know, the other ones were mentioned for like, I think it was $250 bucks.
Yeah, there's a lot of these right now that are in the $200 range. And
that's a great price.
Yeah, good stuff there. Pixelbook Go is their line of new Pixelbooks. Lightweight, 13 millimeters thin, 2 pounds light. It has this like grippable design on the bottom. They call it grippable, but kind of like a rubberish kind of like wavy design.
Not sliding across your desk.
Yeah, well, that's a good thing. Although I will say my Pixelbook has this little rubbery.
Oh, it does. I never knew that.
There, so... You know, it doesn't take up all the extra wavy, grippable space, and it does just as good, I think. Anyways, 12-hour battery, quiet hush keys, they called them, which I've always found the Pixelbook to have really quiet keys that I love. Starting at $649, but I think this is going to be a range, so that's like the... Do you remember last year they had those really underpowered slates? And I don't even think they ended up selling them.
No, they gave up on them. Like a quarter later, I believe. They just gave up on them.
So hopefully they stick to it with the Pixelbook Go. I'm pretty sure they will. And at $649.
You think that's fair pricing? You think that's legit? Considering the hardware that they put out there. They had an i5, an i7, and so forth.
Yeah.
You think that's fair pricing?
I mean, I think $649 is way more achievable for the majority of people who are thinking, because people get locked in the idea that Chrome OS is
just
like low-end.
Browser.
Yeah, it's just a browser, or it's just low-end devices. People are so used to seeing Chromebooks for $200, $300. Right. So the idea of spending more on a better quality Google product, I mean, you know, some of these have cost like upwards of a grand, $1,200.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That seems like a bridge too far for most people as far as Chrome OS is concerned.
You know, and granted, if you're going to do Chrome and worry about it being just a browser and whatnot, I'm sure you're doing a lot of cloud computing anyway on your Windows or your
Mac. Well, let's hope you are.
Office 365 and things of that nature. So it should be a good fit, in my opinion, for that price point.
Yeah, totally. I definitely think $649 is totally fair, and you're not dealing with the weird slate form factor like you were last year on their introductory price, so that's good.
You're still not thrilled about that.
It's okay. Hey, if you want to use my slate, it's in the other room. You tell me how thrilled you are about
it. He's been burned, folks.
The Nest Mini, which is basically the Google Home Mini update, $49 pre-ordering starts today, October 22nd availability, so not very long of a wait for that. They added a little wall mount, so if you want to mount it on your wall it a wall decoration, you can. Ambient computing,
It's
living on your wall. They say improved bass. I'll believe it when I hear it.
Yeah.
I don't doubt that it's improved bass, but those little speakers do not sound that great when it comes to music. They added another microphone, a third microphone for better detection, and they have a dedicated machine language chip on board to be able to process things faster, things that it can handle on device that doesn't need to reach out to services for.
That's great. Now, maybe the speaker would sound better with depending on placement too. You know, just stick it in a corner or something.
Put it
like
in
that.
A corner and you get some sort of extra added boost.
That might help.
Yeah, absolutely.
It's $49. What do you expect?
Well, like you were saying earlier, like sometimes you pack up your car to move to another city and Google somehow, I picture like the Hamburglar or the Ham Googler. Like,
I still have no idea
where
that
thing in your bag.
Came from. I have no idea where that came from.
the Ham Googler is what it was. They mentioned something about Nest Aware, a monthly rate for all Nest devices that you happen to have, $6 a month or $12 a month for different service plans. That's going to launch early 2020. I did think it was interesting that they're including these audio-only devices into the full Nest security suite.
Yeah.
If I understood that correctly, or maybe it's just that it's looping into the Home app so that when you're away, you can activate your mic and listen to your home and be like, what was that?
How cool is that? Just that
extra connectivity and sense of security while you're on the road traveling. That's pretty cool.
I mean, if it's a connected microphone in your phone, in your home, you might as well have the ability to do that. People are going to start, you know, complaining that, oh, no, and now, you know, from a security standpoint, Google has even more of an open mic in your house. But I say give people the option and let them decide. Nest Wi-Fi update. Mm-hmm. This is the what was the Google Wi-Fi, now is the Nest Wi-Fi. Changing the approach. It used to be just like all the hockey puck style points throughout your home. Now it's one router and then multiple Wi-Fi points. Devices throughout.
I believe they had up to a 3-pack, I believe.
Okay, yeah. Mm-hmm. 3-pack, $349, 2-pack, $269, available November 4th. An additional inclusion here is the addition of an assistant speaker, a microphone. Mm-hmm. So basically these Wi-Fi routers and point devices are also Google Home devices.
Yeah, and they are aesthetically pleasing in the home.
Yeah. They're meant to blend in to the environment. And then finally, of course, the probably the most leaked phone in the history of the world and modern civilization.
Marketing 101. Buying that leaked stuff.
You could determine for yourself whether you think it was intentional or not. But the Pixel 4 and the 4 XL... everything we already knew about it. Like, there was literally zero information that we didn't already know.
I was wrong on the price. I want to say I read $699 somewhere for Pixel 4, but it came out with $799.
Well, okay, so the Pixel 4, the lower-end version of this, which, by the way, has a horrible size battery in it.
Oh, boy.
It's like 2,800.
Those still exist?
Yeah, exactly. On an $800 device, it's kind of super paltry. Really curious to know how that small of a battery, coupled with new things like
with
the Sony radar
that stuff on it,
I don't know. But $749 for the lower end. The XL, I was trying to find pricing for it, like confirmed pricing for it, and I haven't found it yet. So I don't know if you've seen that floating around. But I was seeing rumors of this being of the XL being in the $999 range.
Yeah.
Prior, and I've
seen $899 to $999.
Okay, $899 to $999.
Oh no, that's what I saw previously. I haven't seen anything official.
Yeah, $799.
Like $899.
Okay.
For
The Verge has it. Pixel 4 XL for $899 and up. So depending on your storage,
right?
Option.
The storage.
I think it's 64 gigs introductory or baseline for the 4 XL at $899.
That would be the route I'd go.
I'm guessing $999 for the 128 gig onboard storage.
Not
so you're
doing
just
it.
Shy of that $1,000 mark.
Don't want to do $1,000 for a phone. I just don't. Call me crazy.
Yeah, but you
or sensible.
And you know, in this yes. Again, you can determine for yourself which category you fit into there. But so much of this is happening in the cloud.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, on-device storage is maybe less of a consideration, less of a need.
I haven't used a 128 gigabyte phone in a long and very long time because it's just like you said, with everything being in the cloud, I just sync it up and remove.
Yeah, you know? Right. And so often for me, the thing that takes up the majority of space on my phone lately is like photos and videos.
Yeah.
But in Google Photos, once it automatically uploads it, the second I open the app, it's just telling me free up 12 gigs of space on your phone by pressing this single button. Everything is backed up. Don't worry. Okay.
Right. Done.
And boom. You're back in business. So, yes, motion sense, which is kind of air gestures for the Soli radar on the device. They claim the fastest secure face unlock on the smartphone because when you start to reach for your phone, it activates the sensor.
That's impressive.
So that it's ready to go because there is no fingerprint sensor on the Pixel 4. So it better be
good.
Bulletproof.
You know,
better work.
I didn't like the idea of not having a fingerprint sensor. I've grown used to that.
Mm-hmm.
But hey, if this is going to be faster, bring it. Faster and more secure, bring it on.
Bring it on. Let's see here. Dynamic 90 hertz refresh rate on the display.
Was it a 1440p display? I couldn't remember.
Good question.
2560 by 1440.
Let me go to store.google.com/pixel_4.
We don't want
and
to
pre-order one for myself. By the way, if you pre-order the Pixel 4 now, you get $100 for accessories at the Google Store.
Nice.
So let's see here. So I'm pre-ordering the XL.
There's a shocker.
Unlocked. Just Black, Clearly White, Oh So Orange, which is limited edition, which is probably why Leo Laporte ordered the orange.
Of course.
I don't know if I can get behind that color. It's just the color that I don't dig, so I'm going to go white. I
don't know you anymore.
I don't know. Yes, I'm going 128. Okay, no, don't need that. What was your question? Sorry, I suddenly went down phone ordering. Look, it ships by October 22nd. If I don't do this now, I might miss out.
I just wanted to know the screen res. I believe it's like 2560 by 1440. I hope.
Okay.
For this device.
All right. I promise to answer your question this time.
Okay, eventually.
So now that I've gone through the pre-order process on my own, let's see if we can get to the display part of this swooshy promotional page.
1440 by 3040.
Okay. All right, great.
All right, thank you for...
Beautiful. 1440.
For not getting distracted by that.
Mr. Carson always coming through.
Yes. Carson's already pre-ordered his, let's be real. And then, of course, the cameras on the back. Mm-hmm. They've updated the cameras. You've got a rear... They called it a rear wide, but it's not a wide angle. It's just like your rear standard.
Yeah, I'm wondering what the actual focal length is. Is it at least 16 millimeter? At least, but probably not.
Yeah.
It may be computational.
Not sure on that.
I didn't see a real number in the keynote, which they probably don't want to give you all of that in a quick keynote.
Yeah, that's true. That's true. Although, man, that was really informational mm-hmm. block. All the focus on the camera. I loved it.
I'm glad they shared some of that stuff. But again, my concern is, will the average Joe or average Jane be able to go out there and understand the difference between those dual exposure sliders and take
That's
advantage
a good
of it?
Question.
You know, because those selfies that we see in the club on Instagram would look a lot better if they did, you know? Well, I didn't
Perfect
mean to say
for
that
the club.
Out loud. I'm sorry.
And the street. Yeah, I mean, you know, maybe the thought here is that they've simplified it to two knobs that appear by default, or two sliders that appear by default,
mm-hmm.
so that as a user, you aren't worried to reach out and adjust them. Whether you know what they do or not, you're still going to play with them a little bit.
Right, just because
like,
you
oh,
see
whoa,
it.
I didn't
right
realize
there.
I could get that picture.
Mm-hmm.
And then the more you do that, the more you build your confidence.
I hope so.
You learn something. I hope so. Yeah, I would hope so too. 2X telephoto, time of flight for improved bokeh. And then a flash that they say we hope you don't have to use when you take pictures. And then, of course, all of this on-device computational stuff to improve things like live HDR+. So you get an approximation of HDR in the viewfinder, which is
That's awesome.
Awesome. The dual exposure controls that you were talking about for brightness and shadows during shot composition.
Mm-hmm.
Learning-based white balance. So machine learning-based white balance.
Most people are not going to know what that is or even care, but it
Or even know that it did anything.
Right, but it's definitely going to look better.
Absolutely.
In the long run.
Wider range portrait shot with SLR bokeh, SLR quality bokeh, and then night sight with improved features for things like astrophotography and
mm-hmm.
stuff. And again, starting is $799 for the Pixel 4, $899 starting for the 4 XL. So,
there.
We did it.
We did it.
We made it. I
still want the watch, though. Dang it.
You're going to have to wait a little bit longer for the watch. Why is it that you want the watch? Because you're missing having a
I think we've come far enough along in the OS from a, you know, to be able to have a good development and learn some things from over the past years. Why not have something by now?
Yeah.
Apple has proven to that the watch works really well for people and have all of these additional sensors that are actually useful.
Yeah.
In addition to being able to tell time. Plus I like the jewelry of a watch, you know?
Yeah. So and you wear a watch on the regular.
I'm wearing a watch. I'd like to have a smartwatch though.
Yeah.
That's functional.
I remember when I wore a smartwatch. Then I remember
it was totally useless.
Being annoyed by always being notified all the time. I probably could have just changed the setting instead of totally not wear.
Maybe.
Any last thoughts? I think we're kind of
tapped
out.
I think this was a good run for Google and taking account for privacy, taking account for the computational photography that gets overlooked so much today.
Yeah.
I think this is a good move, Google. Nice work.
Yeah, a good range of products. I liked their approach this time, which was less about, and next we've got so, I feel like they were telling a story.
Right.
And it felt like a little bit more natural of a narrative that kind of weaves through all these products mm-hmm. instead of the traditional approach.
Yeah, like the big picture.
Yeah. Yeah, kind of where things are headed and where their minds are at. I don't know. I thought it was a well-done presentation.
We're finally starting to see the Jetsons in our life, you know? Starting to see that.
Yes, exactly. So, I was thinking of you and your mm-hmm. your upcoming show throughout the whole camera portion. I'm sure there's stuff in there that you can pull from.
I can't wait to get into that, but it's going to take a couple episodes.
Okay. All know, right. So what should people know?
Well, we're going to be shooting hands-on photography this Thursday. And again, this is just a show to help people get started with photography, whether it's with a smartphone, DSLR, or what have you. And those first couple episodes, I just want to let you know, look, we're going to get into the basics first. I don't want to just jump right in and tell you how to change exposure and things like that, because I don't want the people that are just getting started to be discouraged. But yes, in the very near future, we're going to talk about all of these extra features that you're going to see on your iPhone 11 Plus Max, whatever it's called, as well as the Pixel 4 and all of its extra computational features. We will get into all of that very soon. So check us out Thursday and just go ahead and hit that subscribe button in your favorite podcatcher of choice.
Right on. Cannot wait, man. And
so excited. We missed last week. Thank you, PG&E, but
yeah,
it's all good. We're bouncing back.
Exactly. Resilience.
What's that? Focus on or
hands-on? Hands-on Thursday. Hands-on.
I thought you said focus.
No, you didn't hear me say
See, focus is a pretty standard terminology in the camera world, so I can understand that, but it's hands-on.
Yeah, it's hands-on, not focus on photography. No.
Why would it be bad?
No, I don't know. I don't know why I said that.
Cool. Can't wait for your new show, man. Congratulations. It's got to be exciting to have that right around the pipeline.
Thank you.
Later on this evening, going to be doing All About Android. So,
it on the day of the event.
It's kind of crazy. Google is finally, like, we knew they were watching All About Android, and this just confirms it.
It's all these connections you've made, man.
Flo is actually in New York, so she's at the event. So I think it's actually when they give her some hardware. She's going to have that to talk about tonight. And we're going to have Duncan Jaffrey from Ozdroid, who will be at the Australian event. He's going to have some hardware, so he's going to be on tonight as well. So make sure to check out the episode. It'll post later this evening. If you want to catch it live, you can twit.tv/live. But really just subscribe, twit.tv/AAA for All About Android, and you'll see that in your feed tonight or tomorrow morning.
Yep.
And we'll kind of round out all this and a whole lot more. As for this show, this is twit.tv/specials. If you go there, you're going to find all of our Twit News, which is our Twit News coverage. Anytime that there's a big hardware announcement that we're covering here at Twit, that's where you're going to find it. So twit.tv/specials will take you right there, and you'll see all of our coverage of events like this and a whole lot more. Thanks to everyone who came in really early this morning to help out. Carson, Jeff, John, Colleen. And so many others. I think Burke may have been running around.
Yeah, I think he may have camped out.
he may have just slept overnight.
You never know, Mr. Burke.
Thanks to y'all for watching, and we'll see you next time on Twit News. Bye.